perfectly this year. I was in 131 cities last year, and I didn't travel less, I traveled more. Now there was 26 straight days that I was home. 26 days preaching from my house, you know, I dress up in my suit and all that. But 5 minutes after that service, I was sitting in my chair eating ice cream, you know what I'm saying? After 26 days, my wife said, "Won't somebody let you come preach?" You know? So we've been married 37 plus years, and they say, "Miss Fox, what's the secret of your marriage?" "He's gone a lot." Yeah. So 131 cities last year. This is only the fifth city so far this year. It's an intense schedule again this year. There's much to be done in the cause of Christ. And Pastor Houston, you're right. We've just got to get the gospel, or one of you gentlemen said it. We just got to get the gospel to the world. It's the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm glad the church brought the gospel to me. They went and got me, brought me to the service, and I heard the gospel. And the second night of that citywide evangelistic meeting, I received Christ as my Savior. And that was 1972. You do the math, long time ago. But God continues to lead. David, you and I were together in Washington, D.C. 1,030 days ago. It was March the 14th, 2018. And Johnny Pope had preached a sermon, Sweet Hour of Prayer, he titled. He said, "Brother Fox, come sing that song." I said, "David, play it a little bit lower. My voice is down." I began to sing. I was so under conviction. Your theme is just right. Pray. That night, I tried to sing Sweet Hour of Prayer. Oh, I was so under conviction. I said to your pianist, your beloved David Chamberlain, I said, "David, the next 8 days, I want you to text me every morning and ask me, Brother Fox, have you had your hour of prayer?" And for the next 8 mornings, this is a dear man, he held me accountable. And now that's been 1,030 some days. I've read through the Bible 25 times since that day. By the grace of God, I'm nothing. God's everything. I'm weak. I'm puny. God can do anything. How does a church go forward? On our knees. Pray without ceasing. Well, I can't pray without ceasing. Why not? That's a command from God. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Praying always. I can't pray all the time. I'd have to be a Christian to pray all the time. Well, prayer is for the Christian, you know. Well, let's get into our sermon tonight. I know what time it is. And I don't exactly know what the ending time is. I wasn't told that. I've got one word as you leave tonight. I've got one word that I hope will be in your heart and mind. One Bible word. Look at the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. But continue. That's the word right there. I wish you would take a pen and underline that word, continue. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Young Timothy, listen. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee, the old preacher Paul said to the young preacher Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Okay, so we've got to continue with the word right here at Faithway. Got to continue. The word continue is found a lot in the Bible. Let me read you some passages. John 15:9. Jesus said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Acts 13:43. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them. Hey, everybody, Paul and Barnabas said, hey, everybody, continue in the grace of God. Continue. Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Now, Romans 6:1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Oh, may God forbid. One thing I'm happy about heaven is I won't sin anymore. I'm so tired of my sin. Aren't you tired of your sin? The sin of this country, the sin of my neighborhood, sin of my family. Hallelujah, Jesus Christ is impeccable. He's never sinned. He cannot sin. But shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Oh, may God help us. Galatians 2:5, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue. Philippians 1:25, and having this confidence, I know I shall abide and continue with you for the furtherance and joy of faith. Colossians 1:23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer. And then our text. All right, so this is 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. Young Timothy, continue, continue, continue in the Word. Preach the Word. Stay with the Bible, young Timothy. How are we supposed to study the Bible and continue with the Bible? Well, read the Bible through. It'll help all of us if we'll read the Bible through. Young people, read the Bible. I read many chapters of Isaiah today. I didn't get much, to be honest. As far as I didn't retain very much of it. Because this book, I'll tell you, recently I was going through an airport, and my Bible was in my suitcase. And man, the alarms went off. Something was wrong in that suitcase. They opened the suitcase up, and it was my Bible that set it off. I said, well, this book is powerful. This book is powerful. I read a bunch of chapters of Isaiah. I didn't retain much, but it's helping me. The only book that can straighten a man out is the Bible. Now, what should we do with the Bible? Read it through. Think it over. Think on the Bible. Keep your mind with the Bible. Write it down. Write the Bible down. I got me a nice notebook. My favorite book in the Bible is the book of Mark. I took that nice notebook. I bought me two nice pens. And in my best handwriting, I wrote a copy of the book of Mark. I'll tell you something, it'll change your life when you write a copy of the book of the Bible. What should we do with the Bible? As far as continuing, read it through. Continue to read it through. Continue to think it over. Continue to write it down. Continue to pray it in. And then live it out. And then pass it on. Amen. So I've got three little points tonight. What is young Timothy, what's he supposed to do? Well, number one, reaching young people with the gospel and teaching them the Bible is indispensable. Number one, we've got to continue reaching young people with the gospel. Timothy was a young man. Now, he's got a dad. What kind of fella is his dad? Well, he's a Greek. Is there anything found in the Bible that would give indication that Timothy's dad taught young Timothy the Bible? No. It's not found anywhere in the Scripture that Timothy's dad had any impact upon young Timothy. Now, every dad ought to be a Christian dad. Would you say amen to that? Every dad ought to be a Christian dad, and every dad ought to be trying to impact his family for God. We don't find that in Timothy's life. But Timothy's got a mama. Every mama also ought to be a Christian mama. And oh, Timothy had a good mother. Oh, yes. And his mother, oh, she taught young Timothy the Scriptures. And beyond that, Timothy had a godly grandmother. And these two ladies, listen, these two ladies continued to teach the Word of God to young Timothy. Now that's got to continue right here at Faithway Baptist Church. The dads and the moms and the granddads and the grandmoms in this ministry, We've got to continue teaching the boys and girls and the teenagers, the millennials, everybody we can. We've got to be teaching them the Word of God. 92%, 92% of children in America did not go to church one time last year. You mean only 8% of American children went to church last year? Yes. Yes. Tragic, isn't it? Now, I'm talking about every kind of church you can name as church. Catholic Church, Lutheran Church, Nazarene Church, Baptist Church. 8% of our children, 92% of our children not going to church. They're not getting spiritual instruction. I'm telling you, it must continue. Sunday school and all the different programs, this teen mid-year thing that we're doing, say, well, this is such work. It's great work. Amen. And it's got to continue. Yes. Now, we've got a president in our history that had a reputation of being honest. He was president number 16. Anybody remember his name? Abraham Lincoln. Honest Abe. Well, why did he come up with that name? Because he is known for his integrity, his honesty. How did he become such an honest man? Abraham Lincoln's mama died when he was only 9 years old. But until she died at age, when Abraham was nine, until then, she'd get little Abraham up on her lap. He'd tell about it. She'd get him up on the lap and read the Bible to him. And explain the Bible. And President Lincoln said the chapter that she read the most to me, the passage she read the most to me, was the Ten Commandments. And over she taught me the Ten Commandments. Yeah, I'm telling you, number one, we've got to continue reaching boys and girls with the gospel and with the plain teaching of the Bible. That must continue. Number two, something else must continue. Number two, translating the Bible and distributing the Bible to the world must continue. Yeah, young Timothy was reached with the Word because they had the Word. Now, you know, Pastor Houston, you started that church. God used you, and you've got the building now. Wonderful. But how could you have a church without a copy of the Bible? Pastor Stephen Russ, how could you effectively lead this place if we didn't have the Bible? So a few years ago, two or three years ago, a gentleman named Charles Keene said, Brother Fox, I need to talk to you. I said, great, I'll pick you up for supper. You know, us Baptists, we get meals involved in everything, you know. And so I picked him up, took him to a little restaurant. He ordered him some food. I got myself Diet Mountain Dew. I remember that. And some food. And we're having a good time together. And he said, now, Dr. Keene, 80-something years old, he said, now, Brother Fox, you know that the Lord has let me start bearing precious seed. And then I started the FBI. That's First Bible International, not that other one, okay? First Bible International and Bearing Precious Seed. He said, but there's one more thing that I believe I'm supposed to start for God before I pass on. I said, what's that, Dr. Keene? He said, we've got to have a school of translation. We've got to have a school of translation. I said, well, Dr. Keene, I'm not a linguistic person. How could I help? I said, I'm not a linguistic person. He said, well, you're not handsome either, Brother Fox. That's what he said to me. I got the best friends, don't I? He said, well, you're not handsome either. I said, well, what could I do? He said, you could raise awareness and you can raise money. And me and Brother Keene worked together, got $1 million, pretty good foundation to get started on. And this semester, we've got 18 students now. In the school of translation, hallelujah. There are hundreds of people groups that are unreached. A fellow named Dale Money, he got up. I was in a session, and a fellow named Dale Money got up and said, there are hundreds of people groups that are unreached with the Bible. Well, I went to him afterwards. I said, Brother Money, I said, the Holy Spirit has called me to action. I must do something about that. I said, I want you to send me the names of the first four on your list. Start with A and go down the first four and send them to me. I'm going to do something about those four. I didn't know how hard this was going to be. So the first one on there was A-C-E-H. A-C-E-H. I didn't even know how to pronounce it. So I went to, you know, YouTube. They've got everything on there, you know. And over I learned how to pronounce Ache. Say it with me. Ache. Yeah, see how easy that was for you? It was hard for me. I'd learn it and I'd forget it. Ache. Ache. The Achenese. I began studying about them. About 5 million of them. And I found out, they told me there was unreached people group. Found out they were not unreached. They were very reached. 99.9% Muslim. Very reached by the Muslim. Well, I kept trying to get a breakthrough. I thought I could just get Google Translate and just do something. I thought this is not going to be that hard. It turns out a lot harder than what I thought. Make a long story short, I couldn't get any breakthroughs. I'd call over to Ache and I'd talk to zoos and I'd talk to the people over there and I'd say, you ever seen a Bible? And I don't know. I started calling and emailing, and as soon as they heard about Jesus, they wanted nothing to do with me. They hate Jesus there. So here in America, I got me 300 boys and girls to make an army. I got little wristbands for them. Pray for Ache. Pray for Ache. And we began praying. Make a long story short now, we now have 6 converts in Ache. Amen. I'm not going to tell you their names because it's dangerous. I haven't gone to Ache, but I've been communicating with some people in Ache. We now have some Sunday school literature and some Bible portions in Achenese. Hallelujah. I'm still on group number 1. I thought I could just crack all those. I said, I'll just get with it. It's hard. It's arduous. It's tedious. But I'm telling you something that must continue is the translating of the Word of God and the distribution of the Word of God. Amen. That's got to continue. How are we going to reach the boys and girls? And how are we going to reach the people around the world? We've got to have the Bible. So number 1, reaching young people with the gospel and the clear teaching of the Bible. That's got to continue. That's what happened in Timothy's life. Number 2, translating the Bible and distributing the Bible around the world. That's got to continue. Then number 3, lastly, training preachers to preach the Bible has got to continue. Now, Paul was the old preacher writing to the young preacher. Under the inspiration of the God, the Bible is authored by God. But he used Paul. And young Timothy, verse 14, young Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. And then he gets down in chapter 4, verse 2. Old man Paul says, young man Timothy, preach the word. Well, we've got to keep training some preachers. We've got to keep training. And how does a young man even know he's called to preach? How does a young man know he's called to preach? I think there's 3 parts. I think there's 3 parts. Part number 1, a divine burden. I can't fully articulate that, but I have experienced it. You can't fully articulate it. Now, my call to ministry was not a call to preach. That was not my call to ministry. I got saved at 8 years old at a citywide crusade. I began walking the 3 blocks to Sunday school and morning service and evening service and training union. And I began going out soul winning as a kid. And the church loved me and gave me opportunity. And 5 years later, I walked down the aisle. And my preacher said, Pastor Dudley said, are you answering the call to preach? I said, oh, no, sir. No, sir. God's called me to be a servant. God's calling me to be a full-time servant. A full-time servant. That was a call on my life, to be a full-time servant. I thought I'd serve preachers all life long and serve churches all life long and cut the grass and pull the poison ivy, and I have done all that. It's a joy to do anything for God. But now the Lord's letting me preach. I've preached over 13,000 times the last 27 years. That's astonishing to me. But there's a divine call, this call to ministry, this call to preach. Number one, there's a divine call. But number two, it's recognized by the other believers. Oh, yeah. You know, I had a young man traveling with me, age 15, age 16. His name is Kerry. Kerry and I go out soul winning. I'd use him to give his testimony, different things, as he had traveled with me. 17 years old. He's now 20 years old. And he's full-time in the ministry right now. But at age 17, one night he called me and said, "Brother Fox, God has called me to preach." I said, "I wondered when you would figure that out." He said, "Did you know?" I said, "Man, I've known it for some time." Yes. Number one, there's a divine burden. Number two, it's recognized by other believers. But number three, don't miss this. This call to ministry, it's empowered by the Holy Ghost. If a preacher doesn't have the power of God on him, just human energy. Let me tell you, friends, human energy is not enough. No, no, we must have the hand of God. I'm not up to the task. God is altogether beyond the task. So let me take a little leaf out of my own life for a moment. I was 19 years old at this point, and I'd been called to a church. I was still doing my Bible college, but I was 19 years old, and I was a licensed preacher, and licensed by this church, and then they called me on staff, and so I'm serving full time. And now it's now time for me to go to my interrogation for my ordination. The men in this room who have been ordained, you know something about that interrogation period, that questioning period. So I came up with this idea somewhere along the way that I wanted to just write my doctrinal paper, because I'm not good under pressure. I'm not good without pressure, but I'm really not good under pressure. I was a kid. And so I wrote up my doctrinal statement. And the men were given it, Rod Bell and Paul Hawkins and Walt Coles and Gene Parrish, all these men on this, this illustrious group of men on this council. And they looked at my ordination statement, my doctrinal statement. And Dr. Bell said, "You've got gross errors in your doctrinal paper." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You've used poor grammar three times." Well, I had a manual typewriter, guys. I had a manual typewriter. No grammar checker on those old manual typewriters. You know what I'm saying? And I had bad grammar, Brother David. I didn't have you around to help check my grammar. I have now put my doctrinal paper in computer form, and I have fixed my three grammar errors. I'm going to read to you some of this, and I want to tell you this. This doctrinal statement, it's where I stand now, it's where I stood when I was 19. But all of this doctrinal paper, I got it all from those men that were sitting on that council. They're the ones that had taught me, and I'd been listening. Of course, I'd been reading my Bible. I believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of Scripture. I believe every word of the Bible was written under the direct influence of the Holy Spirit. I believe the Bible is without error and is accurate in every detail. I believe the Bible is the foundation of my Christian faith. I believe in the virgin birth of the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, and he was conceived by the Holy Ghost in the Virgin Mary. Jesus was not contaminated by sin. He had a sinless birth. He lived a sinless life, and he died a sinless substitute for all. Belief in the sinless Son of God is an indispensable foundation to Christianity. I believe in the vicarious substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ for the sins of the world. He became sin for us. Vicarious means Christ identified with us. As a substitute, Christ died for the sinner and suffered the terrible consequences of sin. Anyone who denies the efficacy of blood atonement is not a Christian. Without the blood of Christ, a sinner could not be forgiven, redeemed, or justified. I believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If the body of Jesus had remained in the grave, then the benefits of Calvary and the promises of Jesus were unfulfilled. But Jesus Christ rose on the third day, as he predicted, with victory over sin and death. The physical resurrection is an absolute necessity to complete the plan of salvation. It is a fundamental of the Christian faith. I believe that Jesus Christ will return to the earth and fulfill all that he has promised. The plan that God began, he will complete. Christ is coming for his own. He will judge the sinner and he will reward the saint. His promises to Israel will be fulfilled, and on it goes. You know why I could even have a doctrinal statement like that? I had some preachers, and I had some parents, and I had a church that invested in me. You see, at one time I was the young preacher. I'm not the young preacher anymore. I got my first senior discount when I was 41. I've looked like an old preacher a long time. You know what I want to see us do? I want to see Faith Way continue reaching the boys and girls for Jesus. Amen. I want to see us have a part in getting this Bible translated for the whole world. Don't you think everybody in the world ought to have a copy of the Bible? Audio Bible. See, some of these people can't even read. We're going to have to record it. We've got to do it. And then we've got to continue seeing young people surrender to the ministry. Would you stand?